Hello, I'm Martin Hindley, and this is the Champions Rugby Show, where we're celebrating 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Our guest today is one of the most special rugby talents that Ireland has ever produced. He's high up on the try-scoring leaderboard in the Heineken Champions Cup. He's played for almost a decade for a brilliant Munster rugby side, making it to four European Cup semi-finals. And he's currently plying his trade in Paris with Racing, where he's hoping to create his very own slice of European history in the near future. Joining me today, it's a privilege to say, is Simon Szabo. Simon, how are you?
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You had a big birthday back in March at the start of this. How were the celebrations and how are you feeling during these, unprecedented times?
Yeah, I did. I luckily turned 30 and I was able to spend my birthday with my family in lockdown. So my fiance and my kids made it a very special day for me and I really enjoyed it. That's the way I actually kind of like birthdays. So it was actually quite good, but being on lockdown, you know, it's not easy for everyone. And we've been enjoying it for the most part, but yeah, looking forward to getting back to action now.
How's the France experience been for you? We'll talk on the pitch in a moment, but as a family and as an experience, I mean, how has it been for you so far?
Oh, so far, it's been incredible. Everything we thought it would be, you know, it's been amazing. We're so lucky to meet the people we've met and make some great memories as a family and see some amazing places. And that's just from a lifestyle perspective, you know, and then from the rugby, you know, you have a totally different way of looking at things, I suppose, from what I would have been used to. And to come into a setup like this has been refreshing for sure.
We're here to discuss your story and what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. But for a start, what does the tournament mean to you as a player and as a rugby man?
As a rugby man, I suppose I start just because it gives you so much excitement, you know, as a fan of the game. You know, Heineken Cup weekends, Heineken Champions Cup weekends are special, and you really get in behind it and you can support the teams that you follow with your friends and things like that. It's just such a special competition. And for me personally, as a player, it's always been my favorite competition to play in. I think it's an incredibly special trophy with a lot of history. All the best players in the world have played in the Champions Cup, and there's been some incredible matches that will live long in the memories of fans, you know. And to be able to add your own little piece of history to this special tournament anytime you get to go out and play is a lucky position to be in.
Well, you've added several slices of history. We're going to go back through some of those. But how did it feel taking you right back to the start in signing your contract with Munster, a club with such a, let's say, such a big slice of that history? It's part of the fabric of the province, the European Cup. How did it feel to be signed? And what were your first memories of joining such a juggernaut of European rugby?
My memories. First memories of that was incredible. You know, I had not such an easy road to get to become a professional rugby player and to have eventually signed with such an amazing franchise or team or club like Munster was a dream come true, because I'd grown up watching Ronan O'Gara and Paul O'Connell, Peter Clossy, all these legends who had played for Munster, and all your friends want to play for Munster. So when you finally get the opportunity to sign a contract and become a professional rugby player, it's like making all your dreams come true.
You were playing alongside so many players in their prime at the start. That must have been such an inspiration. And when it came to your Heineken Cup debut for Munster against Scarlets, that must have been a very special moment in your career. What do you remember about that match and finally to be playing on the big stage in Europe?
Oh, that was so special. Because for me, as I said, the Heineken Champions Cup has always been my favourite tournament. And growing up in Munster, you know how electric the crowds get for those European games. So for the first time to be able to run out on the pitch and experience the atmosphere and the pressure of the game and everything, and it was incredible. That was properly a dream come true. And I'll never forget that day. But a few things from that day. I think, if I remember correctly, I scored a disallowed try, which could have been a nice start to the game, but wasn't to be. But yeah, I just remember, I think we all played particularly well that day, and a great day.
Many players talk about the atmosphere at Thomond Park for a European Cup match and everything just going up a notch. But in a build-up to a European match, how did it change back in those days from a league match to going into Europe? How did it change for you as a group of players?
Massively, it changed. The whole week was completely different. It just went from being another game to the most important game of the season, you know, as soon as Monday came around. So it was very special to be a part of, to, you know, that kind of the old guard mentality in Munster and how they approach games was really fascinating to come into as a youngster. And, you know, the importance and the value of the Heineken Champions Cup was really put on display when you're a youngster in that group. So, yeah, it was just an immediate pressure, you know, almost when you're playing with Munster in European rugby, there's a pressure on us to perform and to do well. And they were probably the main things that stuck out for me, yeah.
You opened your European Cup scoring account with a hat-trick against Northampton Saints, and you became the first player ever to score two hat-tricks in the tournament in the season, scoring three of Munster's five tries against your current club, Racing, who are, of course, have become familiar foes down the years. As you were named Young Player of the Year for Munster in that season in 12-13, did you realise that you were joining that elite group of special European players that you mentioned that you'd looked up to as you joined the club?
I don't know. I definitely didn't at the time. And, you know, I didn't even realise that stat that I had scored hat-tricks in that same season or calendar year until later. So to have edged my first little piece of history was very, very special for me. Yeah. And yeah, it was just an incredible moment, to be honest. Yeah, there was lots of memories that, you know, just added to that book where you can just look back on and be very proud of.
How much more of this pressure can Northampton Saints take in this last 4 minutes? And the answer is they can take no more. And it's the hat-trick hero, Simon Zabel.
You made it to four semi-finals in the Heineken Champions Cup. Which of those sides did you believe that you were the closest to lifting that elusive third trophy for the province?
I think when we played probably Toulon away in Marseille, I thought that was a game we should have won. I thought Johnny Wilkinson played really, really well that day. He hit some important kicks and hit a late drop goal, I think, to get it out away, 8 points plus or something like that. But I thought that day, I thought we had our tails up, and there was a point in the game where I think if we gotten a kick, we could have gone two scores ahead or, you know, into the lead even with 10 minutes to go. And that would have been a totally different picture, I think, from chasing the game all game. So that was a game, yeah, that if you had a second chance to go back and take, that would probably be the game.
We spoke at the start of this series with Stefan Armitage and Brian Habana, both speaking about that Toulon side of the era. And they both pointed to the Munster side as being the side that they respected. Did you feel the respect of the opponents when you went onto the field for the remarkable achievements that Munster Rugby have given the European Cup down the years? Was that something that as players you could sense?
Completely, yeah. You could totally sense that, and not just from the players, from the fans as well. I remember after that game, we were doing a lap of honour and all the Toulon fans stayed back to applaud the Munster fans and started cheering, you know, and the Munster players, sorry. Yeah, it was incredibly special, you know. But the funny thing is they'd be respecting the elder statesmen, you know, more so than any of the young boys coming through. So, you know, that when you're in a team with Paul O'Connell, Ronan O'Gara, Doug Howlett, these guys, that you're going to have the opposition's respect because, you know, on any given day, there's no team that you couldn't beat.
You mentioned a lot of legends there, and we'll touch upon another one here. The man who lifted the trophy for Munster and who sadly we lost at the start of the 2016-17 season, Axel, Anthony Foley. What did he mean to you and to the club when it came to the European Cup?
Wow, he was. Yeah, I wouldn't do it justice, you know, trying to say what he meant to me as a person, because I had him, I would have looked up to him firstly when I was a player while he was a player. And secondly, then when he became a coach, he was able to, I was lucky enough to have him as a coach under 20 level at Munster. And from there, we continued rising through the ranks, him as a coach and me as a player to the senior team at Munster. And yeah, we had a really strong relationship. Anthony loved to have fun, just like myself. So we had a good band, and you know, he had, for a man, had such wisdom and knowledge of the game. And the only thing he cared about was Munster rugby and his family, you know. So a very, very passionate man, and he meant so much to Munster. But the Champions Cup too, he's Munster's all-time top try scorer in the Champions Cup, and he's the highest scoring forward, I think, in the Champions.
That's right, 23 tries, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so, you know, he's a legend of the game, not just in Ireland, but in Europe, and he's greatly missed, and he won't be forgotten anytime soon around Munster and Ireland.
Absolutely. There's so many poignant moments that came in the replayed match against Racing, and the Racing club showed immense respect to his memory. That must have been very special to come together as two clubs, and especially for you now, having represented the badge of both of them. That must be something that for you is in the fabric, not just of the clubs, but of rugby as a sport. Is that fair to say?
Hugely, yeah. It's a good part of the culture that we have in rugby, and there's a great camaraderie, there's a great bond even between rivals, and that respect is always there, you know, and that's what makes me not only proud to have worn Munster and wear Racing, but to play the game we play. So yeah, I think, you know, Racing have always had a touch of class about them, you know, and when we were over in Paris with Munster, they went above and beyond to make sure that they let the Munster fans and players and everything know that they were there for us, you know, and it's way more than a game. So the relationship with Racing started off on a sad note, but a good one, a positive, in terms of, you know, when I signed to come with them, I knew that I was going to a good club and, you know, full of good people, and, you know, I long may it continue.
How did it come about then for you to sign for Racing, and how difficult was it for you to make the decision to leave Munster?
It was very difficult. Incredibly difficult, actually, because I have all my family and my loved ones back in Ireland, and I have, you know, Munster, my team growing up. It's like growing up supporting Liverpool and changing club, you know, when you're a player or something. So it's, you know, it's a very tough thing to do. And, you know, I always wanted to do it at some stage during my career. I always loved the idea of paving my own way and having my career the way I wanted it to pan out, and coming to France was a part of that. And certain things played out in the favour of me coming to France, and I made the decision to do. And I haven't looked back since. It's been incredible. But, you know, going back to play Munster and Thomond Park, and, you know, seeing a couple of games throughout the year on TV over here, it's been tough, but I'm very, very happy where I am and really enjoying my rugby.
Well, that last season with Munster, you were a part of the first 15 to take to the field against them, and at the time, the brand new U Arena. And watching pre-match, Conor Murray hit halfway up the screen, kicking range kicking from his own half before the match, we already knew that it was going to be a very, very different experience. What were your first thoughts when you first walked into that arena in the red of Munster?
I thought, wow, this stadium is ridiculous. it's going to be fun to play in here. The second thing then was, you know, just trying to, because traditionally the generation that I've played with Munster, we haven't had a great track record of going to France and getting the away win. You know, the generation before us had great track record, but us not so much. So I think we are confident, but there's still that underlying thing there that we just couldn't get over the line, you know, and we played quite well that day. Keith Earl scored a scorcher of a try, and we were right in the game until Donnacha Ryan, you know, won back a restart for them, you know, it was like a miracle, to be honest, for Racing. I don't know how he did it, but it was very impressive, and their class showed in the end, and they were just able to tip the scale. But I just remember being wowed by the stadium, and, you know, we put it up to them that day, but just wasn't enough.
You've played regularly on 4G pitches and the like, but what is the most difficult thing to get used to as a player for playing in that very, very specific and particular environment in what is now the Paris La Défense Arena?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because the Paris La Défense Arena is completely different to like any other 4G surface I've played with, because they have a special mix, you know. It's like half hybrid, half 4G, the natural grass sprinkled in there somewhere, you know. It doesn't feel like you're playing, you know, in Scotstoun or in Allianz Park, you know, these traditional 4G pitches that, you know, if it bounces, it'll go a completely different way. So I think we have that little bit of give that helps it simulate a real surface. So it's definitely exciting. It's obviously a lot faster than a normal surface when it's wet and things like that. You're always going to have good conditions. Kickers are happy. And the fans are happy too. They know they won't get drenched if they come watch a game. So it's incredible to play on the surface with the likes of Finn and Viremi Vakatawa and Teddy Thomas and Juan Imhoff, these guys. You know, we just have a lot of threats around the pitch, so we get quick ball and it's fun to play on.
Well, after that first experience that you had there, you went and beat Cast in a delayed match the following week. You earned a home quarterfinal at Thomen Park against Toulon, another team of special individuals still at that time. And as I mentioned that match, I can still hear Michael Corcoran's commentary of Andrew Conway's try at the end. How on earth did you get out of jail in that match? And what are your memories of that Toulon quarterfinal?
Yeah, I remember getting quite lucky at the beginning of the game. I had a little clash with Chris Ashton that fortunately Nigel gave a decision our way. And then shortly after, you know, Toulon put on the squeeze and they continued the squeeze on. I remember getting a bang in the leg. I think actually in that clash with Chris Ashton, and I couldn't play anymore. I had to come off. So it was, wasn't ideal, but thankfully Andrew Conway to save the day, you know, with the an excellent counter-attack and great pace and footwork that got us through.
Conway has it now. Conway it down. Conway raises. He's going forward with this one. Andrew Conway. Oh, he's going to put a try. Andrew Conway with the try for Munster.
The disappointment that followed that in Bordeaux in the semi-final on that baking hot day as Racing produced such an incredible start, was it a bittersweet feeling to you to feel the disappointment on one side and to see the strength of the outfit that you were going to join?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was kind of more frustration, I'd say, than anything, because I should have been playing, you know, and to kind of see the boys out there and not being able to contribute, you know, when, you know, I knew how much I could have contributed. It was very frustrating. So yeah, I think it would have just been frustration at the end. I was so angry. I wasn't looking forward to playing with any of those wrestling players after that game. I didn't want to see any of them. So frustration, definitely frustration and anger.
You scored in the second half of that match one of 29 tries that you've contributed to what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Only three players ahead of you on the list: Chris Ashton, Vincent Clerc, and Brian O'Driscoll. Have you really realised the significance of the contribution that you've given to the history of the tournament?
No, not too much. But when you put it like that, it's very nice to hear. And thank you. But yeah, I saw. Well, I knew rather that I was, you know, quite high up the list. And as I said, it's my favorite games to play in the Heineken Champions Cup. So I'm always trying to score. I'm always trying to make an impact on the game even more so than any other game, you know. And to be where I am in that position still playing, it's something that excites me. And, you know, I want to continue chasing the number one spot and trying to help my team lift the trophy ultimately. So not something to dwell on too much now, but when I look back, I suppose I can tell my kids a little bit more about it.
Murray starting to open up. Zeebo. Earls to his left. Zeebo! Maybe too late, but it is Munster, so maybe not.
If I were to ask you, what is the key to being a top-class finisher in European club rugby tournaments? What is there anything in particular that you would say you've developed, or any part of your game that you think is absolutely key to contributing to those 29 tries?
Well, for me, it would probably be belief, you know, and confidence, because there's such classy players who are playing on the pitch against you and with you. You have to be at the top of your game, and if you don't believe, or if you're not confident that you can go out and try things, even if the pressure is still high, then I don't think you'll get quite high up the list, you know. And everybody is who is high up that list, I know for sure, is confident and will back themselves no matter how high the pressure gets. You see, the difference with this and international rugby is at the European level, you're playing with, you know, the same caliber of players, but they're training with each other week in, week out, you know. So their unity, I suppose, or their collective is probably even a little bit stronger, you know. So some Heineken Champions Cup games can be even more difficult to win than internationals. So the pressure is huge. And I think the confidence and belief, whether you're a youngster or an elder statesman, I think that would be a huge thing if you wanted to get up that list.
I was lucky enough to be at La Défense Arena in the quarterfinal last season against Toulouse, which has to be one of the greatest club matches that the tournament has ever seen. With the back line that you mentioned, not to mention what a sensational pack that Racing has as well, what do you think that the club can achieve when rugby returns?
Everything. I don't think there's any reason why we can't. You know, the players we have, you know, the names on the team sheet is great, but that's, you know, the camaraderie, the bond, the team spirit that's in the group is incredible, you know, and it's certainly not like that in every French club. But it's great because we have a great balance between international and French in the style of our play. And yeah, there's no reason why we shouldn't be in two finals at the end of each year, you know, and they're the standards we set. And that's what we fully expect each year. So it's a great mentality to be involved in.
You mentioned the camaraderie. That's one thing that really hits you when you come off the field as a group of players. You come off as a group. That's something that must be really, really hard to achieve with such a star-studded lineup. But it does seem that you all get on as friends, really, as mates as well as colleagues.
Unbelievably well, yeah. And it doesn't matter the mix. You know, you see Fijian boys hanging out with the French lads. You see it's just a complete mix all the time, you know, and we're always doing things together. We all live in the same area, really. There's not too many lads live in the center of Paris, so we share the same social circles, and we have a great bond on and off the pitch, and obviously form ebbs and flows, but when it's crunch time, generally Racing are in the conversation, and when we're just trying to get over that hump, I suppose, the last year or two, and get to those two finals that we said that we believe we should be in.
Racing have made it to two finals of the European Cup in the past 4 years, had the misfortune of coming up against an exceptional Saracen side in Lyon and a pretty handy Leinster team in Bilbao as well. So that's a trophy that still eludes the club, but it feels like there's a sense that any kind of missing link and the misfortune that they had in both finals in the halfback positions, basically, with a bit of luck, is it a side that's good enough to be European champion one day?
Definitely. And that's the goal in the immediate future. I think, yeah, we've got a great balance to our squad. And obviously, you need a little bit of luck, but there's no reason why we shouldn't. And we're very, very excited by the challenge. It's a club where the top 14 isn't held on a pedestal. You know, they're both right next to each other. And for me, it would be, you know, the Heineken Champions Cup is this extra special one, having came from where I came from, but to lift it one day would be an absolute dream come true. And I think my best opportunity right now would be with Racing, and or the best opportunity I'll have in my career would be now. Hopefully I get to do it, because if I don't, that would probably be a one regret that I'd have, I'd imagine.
We're coming towards the end of this really special Champions Rugby show, Simon. What do you think will be the hardest thing for you to get back into the training and regular training and then playing matches once rugby starts up again? What's going to be the toughest thing from your side?
I think the toughest thing will probably just to find the groove on the pitch again and to start running nice lines off of, you know, Finn and Vermi out of instinct again, you know, because you can't just pick off immediately where you left off, you know. So just building those relationships back up as quickly as possible to hit the ground running when rugby starts will be the challenge.
Simon, I've really enjoyed this look back and this look forward to your career in the Heineken Champions Cup. Thank you for joining us on the Champions Rugby Show. And when it all comes back together, we wish you all the best. And for that life that sounds so idyllic in Paris as well, we wish you and your family all the very best as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a million, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great to speak to Racing's Simon Zeebo, the former Munster man who's targeting the number one spot on the all-time European Cup try-scoring list. Please subscribe and rate our Champions Rugby Show podcast. Leave us a little review as well if you liked it. We've got another European legend coming up shortly to tell you their story from a quarter of a century of club rugby's greatest tournament. See you soon from me and all the team. Goodbye.